It's a song of preparation from the psalmist. We sing hallelujah, and we'll do that again in closing today. And we'll do that to a tune from Psalm 135. I invite you to turn there in your Bibles with me. We'll read the first seven verses today, Psalm 135. And next week, we plan to revisit the song and cover the rest of the reasons why we hallelujah. We have a psalm before us. It's considered one of the, sometimes they're called the great Hallel psalms. This is one of them. It means the focus is on the Hallel. The Hallel, which means praise, and the praise of Yah, or Yahweh, or Yah. So it's a shortened form. It's praise the Lord. Maybe you knew that already. Spilling out of your heart and being spelled out here in a word that we still sing as hallelujah, praise the Lord. We're doing this partly at this time of year, this two-parter and this psalm, to step into the season, which is sometimes called Thanksgiving. Maybe you've noticed that's on your calendar, and this psalm will give us reason for praise and for thanks to the Lord, the Yahweh, who is Jesus, as we'll see and hear in this song. Hallelujahs from our hearts, offered in thanksgiving. It's much to say, that's why it's going to be a two-parter, but let's begin by reading the first seven verses of Psalm 135, and as I read, hear the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Give praise, O servants of the Lord, who stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing to his name, for it is pleasant. For the Lord has chosen Jacob for himself, Israel as his own possession. For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does. In heaven and on earth, in the seas and all deeps, he it is who makes the clouds rise at the end of the earth, who makes lightnings for the rain, and brings forth the wind from his storehouses. Let's pray together. Our God, your word is sure, and so we rest assured in who you are and in what you have revealed. Lord, by your Spirit, this day give us increased faith. Give us grace. Give us what we need to receive from you this day and to ascribe praise, praise that pleases you, because we ask for this in the name of Jesus, the Lord. Amen. I'm guessing many of you did not go to Hebrew school as children, but you'll probably get this question right. If I were to say hallelujah, 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 you would reply, praise ye the Lord. Now, I don't know if the Sunday school class is still doing this. This could have happened minutes ago. I don't know. Maybe I'm dating myself, but that was the banter back in the day. Sunday school translation of Hebrew words. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord, or you praise him is really the call there. So there's a flashback perhaps for Sunday school, something you learn there. Shouting it back and forth, and oddly that sometimes it would escalate. The teacher would get people excited, and the team that shouted praise the Lord the loudest, they get praise. So it's a little bit ironic, but that's the drill. Hallelujah. That's the what. That's the title of the sermon today, and added in front of that word is the word why. And that will be the focus of this week and next. You get a little bit of how-to, but the focus of this song is on why. I'll keep asking that along the way. This week and next week. You could ask it every day. Why do I praise the Lord? Let that sink in. Let you think about it. Why? You got a good answer for that. There are good answers for that. I mean, the short one would be, because the Lord's worthy. Okay, that's true. A little lazy. We're going to get more specific. He is worthy.
But what about his worthiness could you add to your praise? The why question. I won't even ask if you do praise the Lord. I'm going to spot that for you. Right? You praise the Lord. Sometimes we ask you to repeat these words after me, and then we give you a psalm and put words in your mouth that hopefully are already in your heart. We sing along with the psalmist both before and after this proclamation, and we hallelujah because he's worthy. But focusing on the why, looking at particular reasons why, if you have one, great. If you have two, I'm going to give you eight, but not all today. Four this week and four next. Four reasons why we hallelujah. And it's summarized from this psalm in particular. It's we have a hallelujah in the first breath and then the last breath of this song. And in between, there's a lot of action in this 3,000-year-old praise chorus, praise song. All of us must hallelujah. Must hallelujah. Yeah, and here's why, because Yahweh is worthy. He deserves the praise that you have to bring. This morning we'll see this, again, four worthy reasons expressed by the psalmist, the opening verses, verse 7 verses here. I'll give you the reasons up front for today. Because of Yahweh's call, because of Yahweh's character, because of Yahweh's covenant, and because of Yahweh's control. Those are four reasons that we'll see in the first 7 verses here. And if it feels like we didn't really complete the full movement, it's because this is part one. You got that? So if it feels like we just dropped off a cliff, hopefully it doesn't feel quite like that. It's not that startling. But there's more to say. 8 reasons for today. Reasons why we all must hallelujah. And the first reason given here that I'll give you is because of Yahweh's call, his call. Look with me again at the opening verses here. Praise the Lord. And I'll tell you that, I mean, if I forget to say this later, that's a command. Sometimes when I preach through the Psalms, it's like no commands. And people are, where's the application? Well, there's the application. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We'll see why. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Verse 1, give praise, O servants of the Lord. Verse 2, who stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. And the call there may have a particular reference to the Levites and the priests. See them there exercising their ministerial duties as they stand there in the house of the Lord, leading all of Israel. So really the call is for all of the corporate, the gathered people in God's house. They are there to praise Yah, to hallelujah, to offer hallel to Yah. And so here's the summons to the servants. Verse 1, effectively, it's you can hear it going out to all who call upon Yahweh as our God. See that verse 2. And we get to respond to that call. We already have done that today. We've offered up a couple of praise songs from the Psalter. Every Lord's Day we get to do that. We get to come into this particular house of worship with this gathering of believers to offer our praise. We hear the call to worship. We ascribe our worth to the Lord. And eventually we hopefully have this the Spirit making it very clear to us why we're here. Sometimes we come here a little bit distracted. And we need a reminder that we're here to hallelujah. Is that why you came today? Assigning to God worth, attributing to him his greatness and his honor, his supremacy, his majesty. And if so, why? Again, we're focusing on why you would do that. It's because of what he's done. It's because of who he is. In particular, as revealed in the Lord, whose name is Jesus. That's why you're called here today. You're called by God. I'll remind you that we did not call God here. We go over this from time to time. Do you know that? We didn't call God here. He called us. We are the invited guests of Yahweh. He calls us to himself. He did that in salvation in the first place. So we hallelujah for that. He calls us here to worship. He calls us to serve him in life. And he begins this work in us. And he ends it in Christ. And even the service of worship reflects this call and blessing. We come here to hallelujah, and he sends us out with his blessing. We're invited into his courts at his call. That's reason number one. I hope you see here that this gathering at the call of the Lord is a privilege. Again, it's a command as well, but it's a privilege to come as invited guests. Maybe there are people in this room who think, man, I really hope, I mean, I could use names, and there are a lot of names. People, we like it when we get invited over to your house. Right? Do you like getting invited over, and then you share a meal? Well, the Lord God Almighty invites you into his house. That's a privilege. You're called to that. And really, the invitation that we hear, I'll just remind you that if you're wondering why you've been bringing up the, we didn't call him here. That's in some ways, that's, if that's your mindset, if you're thinking that we need to conjure up enough, again, feel goods or gumption to get God to come here. Like if we can just work up enough emotion or sing long enough or come here really ready, then he'll be pleased to come here. You might have come here today not feeling it. You came here because of the command maybe, but you're not feeling the hallelujah part. And yet the Lord, stunningly, is every week is calling you to come here to receive from him, to praise him, to give to him and to receive from him. And it wasn't because you did something to have him come. Again, this could be more of a pagan mindset where we jump around or try to do something to impress God, to get him to rally to that great group of people. He calls you to worship because he's worthy and he wants you here. If you're not grounded in reasons why you're worshiping, then even the forms of worship may themselves feel flat and vain. For example, even today you might actually end up singing a hallelujah chorus as set before you in a psalm. You might be standing and listening and looking for things that really please you. You think, well, I don't know that song. Why can't we sing a different song? I didn't like that one. Or maybe you're clapping, at least in your heart, and you are glad to be here, and you want to offer true worship, and yet you still struggle to look for the angle that pleases you the most. We come here as invited guests to please and honor and worship the Lord. I don't think I'm telling you something you don't know, but I'm guessing it's something with which you struggle. We hallelujah because of Yah's call, and his promise is to grace us through the means he's given, the word, the sacrament, as the Spirit moves through these humble means to strengthen you in your faith, even when your faith is so weak that you don't want to worship. Heartfelt hallelujahs, the psalmist is leading the way, and I hope that's why you came today. At least in part, an invited guest of the Holy One. If you're ready to proceed to another reason besides the call, we hear the call here. It's revealed also in his character. That's reason number two why you would hallelujah. It's because of his character. Verse 3 states that rather simply, if you look with me there. Praise the Lord, and you say, why? For the Lord is good. Sing to his name, for it is pleasant. And so I guess there's a how-to right there. You sing, that's just, this is how you would respond. You sing, you sing to his name, like the invocation, the calling, the singing, from the beginning of the service to the end. There's an element of worship that It calls you to sing, and it's pleasant. At least it's supposed to be pleasant. Verse 3, see that? It's pleasant. But again, the purpose of our song is not ultimately for your pleasure. It's for God's pleasure. Again, sometimes we say, well, I didn't know that song or I didn't like that song. And you could say, well, it's not being sung to you. The Lord is the worthy one. And he calls us to worship, and his character underscores all of this. The reason for the singing in the first place. Why we sing. It's easy to forget that. We tend to think that the singing might be about me, or maybe about all of us together. And I realize that this point that I'm pounding on a little bit heavily here could turn into its own series, but that's not my point. I want to remind us, in a season of greetings and of thanksgiving, that the hallelujah that we offer is outside of ourselves. It's from within by the Spirit to the one who is worthy. We sing our psalm today. The emphasis is, again, not so much on the how, but on the who and the why. We hallelujah. And we're offering these praises. Reason number 2 is character. You see that verse 3 is giving us one solid characteristic. It singles out, perhaps, I don't know if it's the most basic, but you see it there. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Why? For the Lord is good. He's good. And I don't know, if you're anything like me, you might step in here and try to help out the psalmist a little bit. Say, but yes, psalmist, you're being too simple. Isn't the Lord also holy? Yeah? He's not saying he's not. Well, what about his unchangeable character and his righteousness and his jealousy, his infinity, his omnipotence? And the rest of the psalm will go on to feature some of those attributes as well. But look at this one word, the truth of Yahweh's character. It's his goodness itself is an occasion for your hallelujah. He's good. Everything the Lord does is good. Everything. You can't name a thing that the Lord does that isn't good. His judgments are good. His jealousy is good. His wrath is good. Hallelujah. And when we come to the table, we taste and see that the Lord is good. We praise him for that complete goodness that he reveals. And yet sometimes, maybe you've noticed, you find it easier, maybe even more enjoyable, to praise a fellow human. And say, what do you mean? Well, we say, good job, and that's fine. Encouragement's good. But we might high-five the excellent employee. We might go to a concert of your favorite singer and scream and shout and raise our hands. We wouldn't do it here. We raise our hands to the artist. We go to a football game, maybe, and your guy makes the winning catch in spectacular fashion, no less. And you will leap and heap praise on the young man. Some form of hallelujah will spill forth. And here's the distinction, though. Again, I'm not saying that's all terrible. But in this case, the hallel is to Yah. It's personal. The praise is personal. It's to the Lord. It's fine to praise a great achievement. Well, what are the great achievements of the one who saves you from your certain death and wrath for all eternity? We praise the Lord. We praise children. We praise musicians and athletes, etc. And with varying degrees of volume. And when the Lord God Almighty shows us his goodness, as he's done multiple times, even this very week, whether you saw it or not. When you're reminded of that, either through a song or as the Spirit shows you something or catches you in a moment of odd reflection, surprisingly, it's driving along, it hits you how faithful the Lord has been to you. And what wells up in you is not the sound of silence, but the sound of hallelujah, even if it's quiet. The Lord is good. Sometimes we can find the goodness and ascribe the worth to an agent, like a good physician. Have you ever heard a good word from a physician? You probably heard both good and bad. When it's good, we think, man, I'm glad I got a good doctor. I am too. You praise the Lord for that. We take for granted, as Americans, so many things. Maybe we expect goodness all the time and are very confused when we don't get what we think is good. And that can make a hallelujah misfire because it's been misdirected. We thank a good cook. We thank a good mom, a good dad. And that's good. The challenge here, the reminder, I hope, is that the call here is to praise the Lord. And if that is a difficulty in your heart and in your voice, in your thoughts, because we're looking at reasons why, if you can't capture reasons why, then maybe there's a cluttering of something from which you need to repent if you struggle with ingratitude. Again, it's a season of thanksgiving. It's very much related to why you would hallelujah. And maybe a simple reminder this morning is to engage your brain in the goodness of your God. That's His character. The goodness that assures you that He will restore you, that He will forgive you, as you heard in the words of assurance earlier, that He'll hear your hallelujahs at all because of Jesus. The Lord is worthy, and here's why. We hear it in His call and in His character and also in His covenant. This is point three, which is expressed in verse 4. We want to confirm that we all must hallelujah because of Yahweh's covenant. Verse 4. We'll see that in this one verse, we'll see that Yahweh's chosen and His choice are on display. Look with me at verse 4. For the Lord has chosen Jacob for Himself, Israel, as His own possession. Also translated, His treasured possession. It's very personal, very special. Point related. If there's no chosen, there are no praises. If the Lord did not create this relationship in promises made with His own blood in covenant, no one will praise Him. God had to act to save a people for Himself. I think it was John MacArthur who once said, if you could lose your salvation, you would. When I heard that, that made me laugh. It's not funny, but it's true. If you could lose your salvation, you would. If you're a child of God and you're handed something spectacular and it was really up to you to hang on to it, I have on a post-it here. I don't know if I thought this up for myself. It's my stupid drawing, so maybe I did. It's like if you give a, you know, babies like Binkies. If you're against Binkies, then just ignore this illustration. But if you give a diamond encrusted Binky to a baby and you say, dear one, as you can have this, you can hang on to it as long as you never mess up, as long as you always delight to obey your parents. And within 4 seconds, what does baby do? Drops it, maybe tosses it in defiance. You say, oh boy, you blew it already. Now you have to get back the binky. This is super awkward. But you blew it. That's not how salvation works. The Lord gives you something and it stays with you. If you are his child, he did all the work. So we're not talking about losing your salvation. We're talking about the kind of relationship in covenant where the Lord grabs hold of you. And this makes you sometimes squeal with delight. Hallelujah. You see that here? From beginning to end, this song is saying that. Praise the Lord. The whole psalm accents the Lord's choice. From those he calls in the opening verses to what he does for them to the names listed at the end. You see those there at the end, verses 19 and 20? We have Israel, Aaron, and the house of Levi. See that? They were part of the promise that Yahweh made to a people in covenant. This is the beginning. This is a Genesis or early on story. You know this part of the story, right? I will be your God. You will be my people. And this covenant made by the Lord, kept by the Lord, will prove faithful and full of fruit in actual people. And verse 4 makes that clear. If it was the Lord's choice and not the people's choice, and it was, that made this relationship special and come into being at all, this is an occasion to hallelujah. And the mention of Jacob's name here is especially to the point. Jacob is sort of the Old Testament advertisement for how God makes a choice. Without any reference to the so-called good within the person. The Lord chooses based on his pleasures, based on his purpose. You know this, right? In a word, we're talking about the doctrine of election. The Lord's choice, his pleasure to choose anyone, and then to make it very personal and very particular, a special people. The Apostle Paul deals with that in his letter to the church at Rome. And in that letter, Jacob is a prime example. Jacob had the same Jewish parents. You know that? Jacob had a twin brother, Esau, who was older. And so he should have received the greater blessing, and yet the Lord's choice was Jacob. And very specifically, this choice was made, as Paul explains, quote, before the twins were born or had done anything, good or bad, in order that God's purpose in election might stand, not by works, but by him who calls. She was told, the older will serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. And I know in our day, those are practically fighting words for some people. It just doesn't sound fair. And you might think, what does it have to do with Psalm 135? Oh, it does. Their names are named here. In the context of covenant and praise and chosenness. Is it fair? If God is good, as we've heard already in this psalm, verse 3, then why didn't he just choose both boys? Do you got a good answer for that? It raises other why questions. The question we're asking why for, why hallelujah? Is this a reason to hallelujah for choosing Jacob? Why not both of them? You know, at least let them be born and then decide for themselves. Jacob, Esau, do you want to praise the Lord? Many people ask those kinds of questions, and Paul answers it. God's purpose, God's pleasure, it's on display right here. We see it in Romans for sure, and even in this psalm. It actually is celebrating the Lord's choice. See that? He has chosen Jacob for himself, verse 4, see that? Israel as his own possession. That's a reason to hallelujah. To praise him for his patience, his grace, his faithfulness, or to use the word we summarize here, his covenant. We praise him for his covenant. The Lord made a promise to a people, a promise that made them special. And in no way would God's choice and his grace depend upon the sinful human. That's not at all what's being presented here. This is going to be the doing of Yahweh. Because again, if you could lose your salvation, you would. But he won't. He won't lose you. Because he made promises. He's faithful to his people. Really, the reference in verse 4 is a reflection on Israel's history, as recorded in passages like Deuteronomy 7, where you hear words like this. And I'm going to read a few verses, and you can just ponder these. And ask yourself seriously, if there's a reason wrapped up in this history for you to praise the Lord. This is Deuteronomy 7, verses 6 through 9. Moses is reminding the delivered people this, quote, "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession." That sound familiar? The psalmist is celebrating that in this psalm. Verse 7. "The Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your forefathers that he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commands." Not a lot of interpretive difficulty in those verses. A lot of clarity is brought. The relationship that you're enjoying with Yahweh was initiated by him. And it had to be. You guys were not great. How many different ways is this explained, even in a passage like this? It's always a story of grace. This is always the pleasure of the Lord. This is the same story that God tells from the beginning to the end. The dead sinners need a Savior, and there's only one of those. And his name is the Lord, who is Jesus. That's who delivers you from slavery, not just from Egypt, but from your sin, the victory that he earned at the cross by his own great deliverance. It's all the same story. Every generation gets to hear these reasons and sing them and celebrate them to the praise of Yah. Here we have in Genesis with Jacob and the Exodus, of course, mentioned here. And first century Rome, Paul reflects on this same storyline. The psalm we sing today, there it is again. We of all people, we of Yahweh's people, we have reason to hallelujah. Final point, for today at least. Why do you hallelujah? Because of his call, because of his character, because of his covenant, and lastly, because of his control. His control over everything and everyone, all human convictions included, and all of his creation as far as the cosmos can search. Listen again. These are the final verses. We're considering verses 5 through 7. "For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does. In heaven and on earth, in the seas and all deeps, he it is who makes the clouds rise at the end of the earth, who makes lightnings for the rain and brings forth the wind from his storehouses." I like how that starts. It starts with a burst of confidence. He says, I know this. I know that the Lord is great It's like a personal confession of faith, part of the song. That's an expression. It's giving you a setting for the public praise from within a convinced soul. The Lord is great. He's persuaded of that. He's going to write about it, sing about it. He's not just mumbling about the concept of greatness. He's not philosophizing about care. It's very personal. It's covenantal. It's in his control. The psalmist is sure of this. And so, of course, he's going to sing. Every reason to praise the Lord. He's the greatest. He's greater than all the gods. Verse 5. See that? He begins this comparison that we'll look at more next time. He mentions the smallness of those other gods that don't even really exist. That's coming up. And then in verses 6 and 7, the Lord's greatness is seen as extending over everything. He does whatever pleases him, that kind of control. See that? That's power. We've seen the power that is good. It's full of grace. The Lord wants to save those sinful creatures. That pleases him, so he does that. And I'm one of those sinful creatures. And you are too. And here's the power of the Lord in control of all things, even the creation itself, that kind of control. Everywhere you look, whatever's going on, he is Lord. The Canaanites, they would have believed that the powers of nature, like the ones mentioned here, you got the wind and lightning and rain, those belong to Baal. Baal had control of those things. And this is a not so subtle way of saying, well, they're wrong about that. Baal's got nothing. And that too is worth putting into a song of worship to Yahweh. My God controls everything. Can you hear that in this song? That's what we're about to sing. And even confess as true. This is a conviction. The psalmist says, I know this. You need to know this. I'm guessing that most of you know the correct answer. If I were to ask you the question, who is in control of all things? Who is the sovereign one? You would say, you might say Jesus, that's true too. God, Yahweh, that's right. Why do you ask, Pastor? Why do you ask if God's in control? Well, here's why. Because it's easy to forget that sometimes. You say, but I just got the right answer. Right? But you lose sight of things like winds blowing. You say, whoa, who's in control of this? And it starts raining, and then there's actual lightning. And I'm not just talking about the weather. Not just nature. Storms come in life. Even Christians worry. Even Christians try to grab control of what is in front of them, and maybe even try to grab what is behind them, as if either was in your control, and neither is. Hallelujah. Do you really want control? You think you do. There are losses, there are illnesses. And when those fall into your life, do you raise up a praise to the Lord? It's difficult, isn't it? But if the Lord really is controlling all things, including your life, and if the Lord really is good, verse 3, and really makes promises to you in covenant, and is great, verse 5, is that always true? Again, the right answer is yes. But even when my job is at stake, I say, well, I don't know, maybe. Even when my kids are the ones that are rebelling right now, is the Lord in control of that? When dark clouds are rolling in over my house, control and covenant and character and a call to me, to hallelujah. I know the Lord wants my praise. I know that He is completely worthy of receiving my song. But Lord, sometimes my faith is weak, my flesh is weak, and I need Your grace in a very particular way. Even to sing this psalm from a grateful heart might require more than I feel like I've got in the tank today. And yet the call is to hallelujah. Why? You've heard some reasons why the Lord knows where you're weak. He knows where you need grace, which is why He provides you a call week after week to hear His word, to hear good news about a Savior who saves you completely. A Savior who is completely worthy to receive your praise from your renewed heart as you ascribe worth. He is faithful to feed your faith, to strengthen your song, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what season you're going through right now. The gospel truth is that Jesus is Yah. Jesus is Lord. And because of His love for you, you have every reason to hallelujah. Let's pray together. Lord, since Your opening call to come and worship this day, we have been hearing of Your worthiness to receive our praises, and so we offer them to You, sometimes in the silence of our hearts, sometimes through the shouts of our voices, but Lord, always with the assurance that You are worthy, that You are faithful to Your people. Lord, where we are weak in our faith this very day, we pray for Your grace to nourish us from within, for Your Spirit to convict us where that is needful, for Your Spirit to comfort us because that is needful. Lord, place the song in our hearts, even the one written for us this day, in Your word. Impress it upon our hearts. Let us grow through the means You have appointed to grow in grace as we come in faith in the name of the Lord, whose name is Jesus. Amen.